All right, so I just read 1 Corinthians 7. Brother Koo and I are going to talk about it, and we're just going to go through and see what verses jump out at us. We're not doing like verse-by-verse exegesis here, but we're just going through chapters and discussing them. So it's interesting, verse 1. Now concerning things thereof ye wrote unto you, wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So Paul starts out with, we all know that apparently Paul was not married. And so Paul is kind of leaning in that direction. Would you agree, brother?
Yep.
He later says that this is me, not the Lord. And he goes on to say that, but we'll get to that when we cover that. But verse 2, so this has caused people out of trouble. Paul saying don't get married. Oh, what? It's not good to be married? Well, verse 2 says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So Paul is saying it's good not to, but then he goes ahead and says, but it's okay to. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I just want to add in verse 1, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. We see the fruit of like the, especially like the college campus ministries and whatnot. It's so co-ed, which yeah. means men and women kind of mixing together. I don't think they regard that commandment of Paul hardly at all.
Yeah.
And I've witnessed some of it in the college campus ministry I was a part of in my lost life. And it's just, it's got to the point where there's no sanctity in that because the culture is so, like, perverted yeah. in that way.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Touching and a man not to touch a woman, Paul's talking about, obviously, sexual, you know, contact. And then you're talking about this, and it's along the same line. The Bible talks about keeping yourself pure before marriage, keeping the marriage bed undefiled. And you're right. Doesn't that go along with, brother, the whole idea, and you and I have talked about this, the whole idea of dating out in the world and in so-called churchianity versus the process where somebody courts somebody for marriage? Big difference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Dating is like a trial yep. run where you can say, no, I'm not really interested after you've done basically everything
yep.
In marriage.
Yep, yep. Very sinful. Yeah, definitely. So he goes on in verse 2, says it's okay, you know, let every man have his wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife also unto her husband. So he goes on, he's talking about how husband and wife shouldn't defraud each other of sexual relations. Other than, I think this is interesting, for a time to fasting and prayer, and then come together again that Satan might tempt you not. I like that because, to me, that's a good reminder that even in a marriage, that God and the things of God and what we're doing for Christ comes before even the things of the marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Marriage can become an idol in people's lives. It's good to keep God
yeah.
number one, always.
Yeah, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that comes even before your marriage. So a time of prayer and fasting would mean people would act, would be celibate, and then he says, come together again. So I like that. It keeps the, I think that's a good, keeping the priorities in order, even in a marriage. Even though husband and wife, the two become one flesh, still, God is over the marriage. It's what he created. It's his covenant. By the way, we need to talk about that. So we're in a blood covenant with Jesus by his death, burial, and resurrection. Husband and wives are also in a covenant that God created, the marriage covenant. So it's another sign of God not having unconditional covenants. The marriage covenant has many conditions. The New Testament blood covenant has conditions as well. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 6, I speak this by permission, not of commandment. So Paul's kind of given like his opinion in some of these cases here. He makes it clear that they're not commandments. I think everybody pretty much understands that. I wanted to say verse 8, I say therefore that the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. And later, he talks about how the wife worries about her husband, the husband worries about his wife. But being single, now I'm not single, I'm married, you're single. How many people do you think, brother, look at being single as a gift?
In this culture, very few, because it's all about, I need more, I need that. And people are constantly trying to, well, because the culture tells them, I need like a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever it might be. It's like you absolutely need that to be happy.
Yeah, like I need somebody to complete me or something.
Right.
And that's just not true. A wife is a helpmate, and a husband loves his wife like Christ loved the body. But you don't have to be married. Paul's making that clear. And I think that verse in Timothy where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. So you as a single young man, if you're living a godly life and you're content with where God has you, that's a great gain. If you're longing for something more, well, let's talk about it, brother. We were united to somebody and we no longer are. And one of the issues that he came back and told us about was finding a wife, was it not?
It was, yep.
And he basically said, he's burning with lust. I got to find a wife. Now, nothing wrong with a man wanting a wife. Didn't ever told him he couldn't have a wife. In his case, two issues. He's not really ready to be a husband. And there isn't really godly women around in America where he lives to have a godly wife. So it was kind of a double-edged sword. But some people can, like you said, they can make that their idol, can't they?
Yeah, it's almost like instead of saying for God's glory, I'm just going to abide where I am. And Paul talks about, is it in this chapter or a different chapter, abiding where you are, wherein, like where you've been called, abide with God. It's kind of like,
yeah, it's later. Contentment. It's later in this chapter.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And yeah, just abiding with God where you are. And it gets to a point where marriage, and I'll say it, it becomes like fleshly. Like if you let marriage become like fleshly, kind of like that young man that we were associated with, he let it become fleshly where it's like, I have to fulfill my lusts.
Yep. Lust of the eyes, pride of life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what marriage was designed for.
Yeah. Amen. I'm just kind of going through here, so break in anywhere that you want to talk about a verse. I'm just kind of bumping through them. Verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. So God is saying, you know, he's not fond of divorce. He's not happy with divorce. He sees divorce as sin. Now, God always allowed for divorce through Moses. I got teaching articles on all this at the teaching blog. God allowed for divorce. God divorced Israel twice and took her back. So while God hates divorce, it still is something that does happen, can happen. There is such a thing as a biblical divorce when there's fornication or abandonment involved. But here he's saying that the goal is, let not the woman depart from her husband. But if she departs, let her remain unmarried. He's talking to believers here. And let her be reconciled to her husband. And let the husband not put away his wife. So Paul is saying, it's better to be single. You want to get married because you're burning. Get married. Don't be getting divorced. So he's kind of like covering all bases, isn't he?
Yeah. Yep. You know.
And let's see, verse 12, he says, but to the rest I speak, not I the Lord, but the brother hath a wife that believe not, she be pleased to dwell with him. Let him not put her away. I just had to deal with this with somebody I was helping. And he's married to a lukewarm believing wife. And he's like, what do I do? And it's like, well, she's pleased to dwell with you. You can't put her away. And so Paul's making way for the marriages to be able to survive. Same thing. If the husband stays with the wife and is happy to dwell, not to put them away. So he's dealing with, in Corinth, there was a lot of bad situations because you had pagans coming in that probably had multiple marriages, lots of divorce, multiple wives maybe even. There was a lot of paganism with women being like sex goddess priests and all that kind of stuff. So Paul's dealing with a lot of these issues. Verse 14 is an interesting one. Let's talk about this. Read verse 14, brother.
For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy.
Yeah. So that word sanctified, it means to be consecrated, to be made holy, to render to knowledge, separate from profane things. So what do you think he's talking about there, brother?
I'm thinking sanctify, like, let's say an unbelieving husband sanctified by the wife, like, the husband observes the wife's, kind of like that verse that talks about observing, like, the chaste conversations of the wives, that kind of a thing, and it can have a real impact on a person's soul, because they see that, wow, they conduct themselves really well, and it's almost like he wants to conduct himself well then, and he wants, it almost sanctifies him as well.
Yeah.
And then that kind of a thing, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track. It definitely is not that, you know, believing wife is going to gain heaven for her husband because she believes. It's more of you're an influence, they have a chance, they have the light, they have the hope, they have a holy person in the house that can work through them, with them, for them, and so they have a chance, right?
Yeah.
I believe that's what it's talking about. Let's see, 15, it says, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has thus called us to peace. So if an unbelieving partner leaves and a believing partner, you're not bound by that. I mean, how can you be married to somebody who leaves you?
Yeah, that wouldn't make much sense.
You can't. So God is merciful, and I can prove God's merciful. You get a lot of these divorce and remarriage people that think that you get one marriage for life and you can never get remarried no matter what. God is merciful. God was giving divorce decrees under Moses, and part of the reason was that husbands were putting their wives away for no good reasons, and these women back then, it wasn't like in the culture today where women could get jobs and have apartments and thrive without a husband. These women were put out, and they're either going to be out in the street or turn into prostitutes, and God was being merciful and saying, hey, these men are putting these women out, give them a divorce decree so that marriage can be ended so they can go get remarried and still have a life. So God's very merciful in that way. He doesn't like divorce, but he's not going to hold you accountable for someone else's actions.
Yeah, amen.
Makes sense. So what, moving ahead from verse 15, brother, what, anything jump out at you that you want to talk about?
I guess verse 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. So it's where the Lord has called you, there you should walk. If you can hold yourself back from marriage, it's awesome. You should do that because you can attend to the Lord more. But if you do marry, if you do want to marry, it's not a sin to do that. It's also a good thing to do that. So yeah. It's like wherever you are in your walk, there you should abide.
Yeah. I think it's awesome because God, you and I talked about this before. It's awesome because God says preach the gospel. He doesn't tell you exactly where. You got liberty to go and do. You got liberty what you do for a job. You got liberty on where you're going to live. And so I love that the Lord gives us such liberty. And here Paul is making the way for liberty, and he's saying it's better, I give you wisdom, it's better if you stay single. You'll have a lot less trouble. You'll have a lot less concerns. You can focus on the kingdom of God and the Lord 100%. But if you can't do that, it's okay. Marriage is God ordained, and so every man should stay called where he is. That would be the best thing. And then verse 17 or 18, any man is called being circumcised, let him not be uncircumcised. And is any man called uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised. Hey, so much for the Hebrew roots people that tell us we got to keep Torah as Gentiles. Circumcision was like the seal, like in Ephesians where it talks about the seal of the Holy Spirit, I think it's Ephesians 1, circumcision back in the Old Testament, that's what it was. You were 7 days old, they circumcised the males, that was a seal that you were of God. Well, Paul's not telling the Gentiles to do that, is he, brother?
No, but their response would be, you worship Paul.
Yeah. I get you. We had a Hebrew guy recently tell us that we worship Paul just because we believe what Paul taught. And, yeah, absolutely foolishness, yeah. Let's see. He said, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling where he was called. And then he goes on to explain it. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, rather use it. What do you think he's talking about there, brother? If you're called being a servant, care not for it, but if they're called, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather.
Basically, he's saying if you're called being a servant, you shouldn't be desiring, longing after being free. Oh, man, I wish I was free. I could do so much more for the Lord. I could do this, that.
Yeah.
He's saying just if you're a servant, just abide with God as a servant. Do what you can as a servant. But if you're made free, use it for God's glory.
Amen. And the real fact is, John 8:32, the truth is truly what makes us free. So we gotta not be worried about the wrong type of freedom. And so if you're a slave, be the best slave you can be and not be worried about getting caught up with other things, because the truth of God is what truly sets us free. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Let's see, what else we got here? I like verse 23. For ye are bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein is called, therein abide with God. I like that. Abide, remain. John 15, Christ says, abide in me, remain in me. I like that. But we're bought with a price. What's he pointing to, brother?
Christ, his shed blood.
Yeah, amen. We're bought. We're not our own. And so, kind of an echo. Husband and wife's bodies are not their own. I like that. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. And so God has bought us with a price.
I like how, like, God, this is just like a thought. God can call you to be married, or God can call you to be unmarried. So it's almost like, because we talk about marriage as like its own ministry.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you're married with a wife and perhaps you raise children, whatever it might be, that's a whole ministry in itself. You raising children, running the house, making sure your wife is biblically sound and all of that, that's like a whole nother ministry. So God could call you to that ministry, being married and running a house, or God could call you to being free and being single and working for him that way too.
Yeah, amen. That goes along with where when Jesus was talking, and I believe he was talking about marriage, and the disciples said, well, who could bear that? And Jesus talked about some are called as eunuchs and some are not. So it's like everyone has a different calling. Some people are gifted to not be married. Other people would not be gifted that way and should get married. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's all based upon God's calling. And Jesus talked about that in the Gospels when he was explaining it to the disciples. Let's see. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment, so here's his like opinion, as obtain mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Therefore, it is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be. Thou art bound to a wife, seek not to be loosed. Thou art loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. So kind of going back to that, where you called, right?
Yeah, amen.
Verse 28, but if thou marry and thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she has not sinned, nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. What do you think he's talking about there, brother?
Honestly, honestly, I have a question about that because it could mean a lot of different things, like trouble in the flesh. Not really sure. What would you say that means?
Well, I think if we keep reading, doesn't he go on to talk about how the wife is concerned about the husband concerned about the wife? And I think what he's talking about there is that you're not sinning if you marry. God ordained marriage, but nevertheless, you'll have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Go all the way back to the first verse in this chapter. He says, I wish you'd remain the way I am. Because think about it. Paul being not married, did he have a wife to be concerned with?
No.
Children? None of that.
Nope.
So I believe what he's talking about there is that in marriage, you're going to have a lot of tribulation because you got to get along. You're going to have issues. You got to look out for her. She's looking out for you. Children, it does become, while it's a good and godly thing, it does become, it can become a distraction from the kingdom of God. Doesn't have to, but as you said, many people make their marriage or their children, they end up being kind of an idol.
Yeah, I can see how it could be a trouble in the flesh. You made that good point about the children. It's like trouble in the flesh. It's like we talk about raising up children as not being in the kingdom of God yet because they have to make that choice for themselves, and you have to kind of train them up in the way that they should go, but yep. It doesn't mean they're going to go that way. And it's like a lot of trouble in the flesh that you wouldn't have if you're single, I guess.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to talk about, and I guess I got to be careful. I don't want to go into too much detail, but a lot of marriages back then were arranged marriages. Imagine this, brother. They're arranged marriages to where you're a son of some dad, some parents, and then there's a woman over there, and she's the daughter of these parents, and they arrange a marriage. And you two come together, and you might not even know each other. Now, you can just imagine you're coming together with somebody that you hardly know. There could be a lot of issues. You don't get along. Maybe you don't get along sexually. There's all kinds of issues in the flesh that have to be worked out. You got to kill your flesh. You got to bear all this out. That's a lot harder than just living on your own, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why Paul said, but I spare you, because he's like, I don't want to go into all these different details of like the struggle with the flesh.
Yep, amen. Go back to the first verse. He says, I wish you'd stay like I am. So,
yeah.
But he says, this I say, brethren, the time is short. Uh-oh. Is that their pre-tribulation rapture imminent verse, brother? I'm being facetious. They try to say that the rapture is imminent, but they don't have any verses to prove imminent rapture. I don't think this is one of them. He says, the time is short. It remaineth that both that have wives be as though they had none. That's an interesting verse there. What do you think he means by that, brother?
Basically, attend to the things of the Lord, like be a laborer in his harvest. He's not saying completely throw out any care for your wife, because other verses, you can't take that in eisegesis. Other verses, right. Exegesis, talk
Amen.
About if you don't care for your own household, then you're worse than like a reprobate.
Yep.
So you do have to take care of your household, but attending to the labor of the Lord is important because the time is short.
Yeah, amen, amen. That's exactly right. Let's see, and that was verse... what verse are we on here? Oh, time is short.
That was verse 29.
Yeah, it was 29. And they that weep as though they weep not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. So see, he goes on. He's not just talking about wives. He's talking about carry yourself for the Lord because the time is short. And 31, and they that use this world not as abusing it for fashion of this world, passeth away. I want to look up that word fashion. A figure, a condition, an external condition he's talking about. So it's not even just talking about wives or husbands in general. He's talking about carry yourself like you're focused on the Lord most of all.
Yeah, carry yourself like you're focused on the eternal things first.
Amen.
And then focused on the temporary things like a wife, because the Lord did say, I love the verse where he says, you do err in not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. But he said, they that are worthy to obtain the next life, I love that, worthy to obtain it, won't be given in marriage. So
yeah,
it's not an eternal, marriage is not an eternal thing.
Yep, marriage won't be in heaven. And yeah, Jesus told us that. And yeah, I love that. Worthy, we're called to be worthy many, many, many times in the New Testament of our calling for the Lord. So yeah, that's an awesome, awesome example there. Verse 32, but I would have you without carelessness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. So Paul's just, again, going back, echoing what he said. You want to focus on the Lord, don't get married. You want to have your life divvied up to where you got to focus on marriage, a wife, kids, a house, people to take care of, and then serve the Lord. Okay, do that. But Paul is just giving us examples of the choices that you have. And let everyone who is single make this choice with their eyes wide open so they know and they understand what they're stepping into. It's a very big responsibility. Lifetime commitment, big responsibility.
Amen. And not only do you have to count the cost of following after Christ, you have to count the cost of marriage as well.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah, big cost. Big cost to count. Let's see, what other verses we want to look at here? And then verse 35, he kind of is like kind of like laying it all, smoothing it out. For I speak this not your own profit. I speak this for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So Paul is just, this is my argument I always give to people. Make sure that in your life, you're always falling towards the things of the Lord. And that's what Paul is trying to do here. He's trying to tell people, yeah, you can get married, you can have kids and all that, and God ordained it, you haven't sinned. But Paul is saying there's a better way or a different way or another way. And Paul is encouraging people to always lean towards the Lord. Now, if you marry a godly woman and your life is set for ministry and all seeking the kingdom of God, it can be a tremendous advantage. I mean, I have a godly wife who's my partner, and it helps me tremendously. And so there's great advantages to it. But Paul is just saying, I'm not trying to set up a snare here. He's just trying to give everybody counsel so they go into it with their eyes wide open about what are their choices, what they should be doing.
Amen. Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. What other verses we want to talk about here? If any man behave himself uncomely towards his virgin, if she pass the flower of age, and need so require, let him do the will, and he sinneth not, let them marry. So he's saying it's okay to marry. So he's going back and forth, it's okay to marry. 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. Once again, we know where Paul stands, don't we?
Yeah, he's making his case for the unmarried and staying unmarried to attend to the Lord in all things. But he's saying, but if you marry, it's still good. God ordained it. You can still do that, but serving the Lord with all that you are, with your whole focus on the Lord, would be better.
Yeah, and let me defend Paul here. I don't need to, but let me defend him. 1 Timothy 4:3, he says, some forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Paul never forbids marriage, does he?
No.
No. Nope. So I've heard people try to like equate Paul to like the Roman Catholics, where they tell the popes and or the priests that they can't get married. Paul never forbids for marriage. Paul's giving you liberty. You as a single young man, he's giving you liberty, saying you could do that. You could do it. It's better if you don't. Don't do it. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. As far as we know, neither one of them were married. Now, some people say Paul might have had a wife. I don't know about that. We know he wasn't married when he's talking about all this. But Paul never forbid to marry, and I wanted to bring that up. He's just saying,
yeah,
make sure you go into it with your eyes wide open. And then verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. I'm sorry?
Yeah, bound as long as they live. Yeah, the next verse talks about long as they live. Yep.
Yeah, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. So that's an admonition that he's talking to believers here, and he's given the standard. And then I like how he says, but only in the Lord. Because in other places, Paul said, don't be unequally yoked to unbelievers.
Right? Yeah, amen. That's a big, I would say a big stumbling block for young men, like in the churchianity systems, the church systems. I know it was for me back in the day when I was a lost man and stumbling around in the darkness and whatnot, because it's like, well, I go to church. I mean, you're already compromised in the churches. You're already compromised as a Christian. So you start to make like excuses for like, well, I could marry this worldly woman and maybe over time she could be like sanctified and maybe over time she'll come to the faith. And you start making those excuses and that's not good. It should only be in the Lord. And
yeah.
That's an important point.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Only marry a godly man or a godly woman that's born of the gospel and is living it. Big mistake I see a lot of people make. Well, after I marry him, I'll help him get to the Lord, or we'll come to the Lord together. And it doesn't work that way. Each person has to come to the Lord themselves, and you shouldn't go into marriage unless you're both born of God, serving him, holy and obedient already. And I wanted to share this verse to the single people that might be listening. You know, I hope that single people that are born of Christ, I hope they focus fully on Christ. And I hope they focus on the kingdom of God in their ministry. And I hope they don't look at other people that are married with children and think, oh, I'm just not complete and I'm not whole and I'm not all, I'm missing, I'm lacking. Colossians 2:10, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and all power, whom you also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off of the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereas you are also risen with him through faith, the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. You are complete in Christ, and you don't need to think you need another person in your life to be complete. Amen, brother?
Amen, yep.
So I wanted to make sure that we put that in there. Because I see a lot of people that are single. You know, it's interesting, when you're in ministry, as long as I've been doing this, you meet people that are single, they want to be married. Then I meet men that are married, women that are married, that wish they were single. Then we meet, Sister Emma and I meet married couples that have no children, that want 12 children. And then we meet people that have 12 children and go, we love our children, but man, it takes us away from the service of the Lord. And what it proves to you is that wherever you are, if you allow yourself, you're going to find a place to be discontent, right?
Yep. Abide wherein ye are called. Do what you can with what you got.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And the last verse, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think so, that I have the Spirit of God. So if you read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 7, and Paul is just laying out his commandments about marriage, his judgment about marriage. It's best not to be married. It's okay to be married. The parameters if you're with an unbeliever. The parameters if someone leaves you. And what I want to say is this is a pretty deep topic, and we didn't go into it here. At don'tperish.com, go to my teaching blog, look under divorce and remarriage, and we have a whole bunch of articles that goes into every single subject that I think I've heard raised about remarriage, divorce, and believers, non-believers. And I go and I cover all that in great detail because it is a deep topic. A lot of people have twisted it and they use terrible eisegesis on it. And so anybody listening, you want a bunch of teaching about 1 Corinthians 7 and biblical marriage, especially we're talking about believers. We got a whole bunch of articles, teaching articles, that will help you on the teaching blog. So, anything else about 1 Corinthians 7, brother?
I don't know. That verse 40 is one of my favorite verses. It's just because I love that statement. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So he's giving his judgment, but I love how Paul just throws that in at the end. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God.
Yeah, I love that. I love how he boasts in Christ in places where he says, I've been through this and done this and done this and done this, done this. Am I not an apostle? I love that. Yeah, good point, brother. Good point. All right, we'll leave it right there, and this will be up in the Ecclesia gathering area to edify others. Thanks, brother.